Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. And now, on to the show.
So I am very excited to introduce our speaker, Renee Dunn. Hi, Renee. Renee has been a web developer for over 20 years and has been building sites on WordPress since 2010. She has built sites for nonprofits, business to business, business to consumer, and government organizations. She is the owner and principal consultants for Elevage Digital, focusing on SEO and website accessibility. And we are so excited to have you here. So welcome, Renee.
Thanks, Amber.
I am going to stop sharing. I will let Renee take over sharing her screen. There is a Q&A module that is part of Zoom. If you are able to please add any questions there, then at the end of Renee's presentation, I will come back and I will pass those along to her and we'll make sure to answer all of your questions. It's just a little easier to track them if you put them in the Q&A rather than in the chat. So I'm going to go away and let you get started, Renee.
Great. Thanks, Amber. Happy to be here. Hopefully this will be interesting for people. It seems like we have a lot of Divi users and maybe some developers. So hopefully some of this will be useful, good new information. So I'm going to go ahead and skip past the intro slides since we kind of covered all of that already. Like I said, I'm in Fredericksburg, Virginia, which is about an hour south of Washington, D.C. So I'll kind of dive right in and talk about kind of how I got started on this path. So I partner with another local agency here in Fredericksburg, and a lot of their clients are local governments and commissions and various related sort of quasi-government, you know, organizations. And so earlier this year, the Department of Justice came out with their new rules regarding accessibility. And so now all of these sites that they work with have to meet the WCAG 2.1 AA success criteria, and they have between 2 and 3 years to start meeting those requirements. So all of their sites are built in Divi. And so I wanted to try to, you know, start looking at ways to be able to achieve, you know, the WCAG success criteria. And given that a lot of them, you know, it's government, the budgeting cycles are slow, the decision-making process can be sort of slow. And so we didn't really think that it was going to be feasible to move these sites to a new, you know, maybe more accessible by default platform. And so it became important to really figure out, you know, what can we do with the sites on Divi as they are. So I will say that what I'm going to talk about is mostly focused on Divi 4. I did look at sort of what's publicly available about Divi 5, and there is an alpha demo out there now. But from what I can tell, it doesn't look like they are addressing accessibility as part of Divi 5. You know, if anybody on this call knows more, feel free to maybe put some information in the chat. But from what I can tell, it doesn't look like that Divi 5 is really addressing any of the accessibility issues. So what are those accessibility issues? So if you haven't watched Amber's the webinar from a couple, I guess maybe a couple months ago, where she did a really extensive analysis of a lot of the different page builders out there and, you know, how well they meet various accessibility requirements out of the box. Spoiler alert, Divi was at the bottom of that list. And so some of the reasons for that are they don't have a skip to content link included. So users can't bypass the navigation. There, if you're on a mobile device, you don't have the ability to zoom in and out. So if you're trying to magnify the text, you don't have the ability to do that. There is no focus indicator. The Divi CSS has explicitly removed that. The drop-down menus are not keyboard accessible. The mobile navigation is not keyboard accessible. If you're using, the default header, the search icon, and the form itself in the top are not accessible. There's no label on the search form. The other thing is if you're using a keyboard or a screen reader, you can access that search form even when it's hidden. And so that is a failure for specific WCAG success criteria. And the other thing is if you are using things like the button or some of the other modules that include icons and you're adding those icons as part of the styling, the way Divi does that is through the before and after pseudo elements. And so they're being added in through CSS. But the problem is that what you end up hearing if you're using a screen reader is the symbol's name, which has absolutely no semantic relationship to what is actually being displayed on the screen. So, for example, if you have just the basic, left and right arrows, what you hear is four and five. So it's random. That isn't being hidden from the screen reader, and it really has no, like I said, semantic relationship to what is being displayed. So, and that is by no means an extensive list, just to say of what some of the issues are with the theme. That's just some of the bigger ones. There are also issues related to some of the individual modules. So, for example, if you're using the accordions or the tabs or the toggle modules, none of those features are keyboard accessible. If you're using the blog module, there's the ability to include the read more link, which is considered an ambiguous link, so that would be a WCAG failure. And there's no way to add an ARIA label for those links. The button module is a little bit of a misnomer because what it actually creates is a link. So, buttons are meant to kind of launch functionality. So, launch a pop-up or submit a form versus a link is meant to, take you to another page. So the Divi button module really creates a link. So, like I said, it's not even doing what it says. But then there's no way to add an ARIA label onto those elements. And there's no way to actually create a button. So, there's all kinds of issues wrapped up in that. The contact form and the email opt-in forms that are available, those labels are hidden. The required fields are not marked properly. And if you generate an error through these forms, those errors are not conveyed to the screen reader. The slider module doesn't have accessibility or accessible name associated with the arrows. So again, if you're using a screen reader, when you get to a slider, you hear things like four and five for those arrows. So why is it so hard to solve all the problems with Divi? I think one of the biggest challenges is that there just isn't support from the theme provider. So, that's definitely a little bit of an uphill battle. Of the things that need to be fixed, there are a number of them that can't be fixed with JavaScript alone. You do need to edit PHP or the theme files to address some of the issues that exist with the Divi theme. There's also so many different options for configuring Divi. And I'm sure that's why so many people love it, because there's just so many different things you can toggle on and off. There's so many different ways to style it. But that can create a challenge in terms of testing, and, you know, being able to account for all of those different variations. If you use the Divi theme builder to create like a custom header or footer, there are WP, like WordPress-based hooks and Divi-based hooks that are ignored, basically. So you can't, it makes it harder to include custom functions that, you know, that maybe manipulate the menu or deal with some of the, again, some of the different issues that exist. Divi also uses JavaScript to dynamically generate a lot of what you see on the page. And so it can be hard at times to use additional JavaScript to target some of those dynamically generated items. So what are some options that we can employ to try to deal with these issues? So the first one is use a different theme, which seems counterintuitive, but I kid you not, I have seen this recommendation in Divi support tickets where people are asking about, you know, skip to content links and focus indicators. I have seen where support will recommend using a different theme that has those already built in. So another option would be to, you know, disable some of those more problematic modules and use an alternative, right? So for the blog module, you could create a custom loop in a theme file, potentially use some custom fields if you want to be able to have the ability to define custom ARIA labels in your lists. For the contact form and email opt-in form, basically you would just need to use a different form tool. So for example, Gravity Forms or maybe Ninja Forms, you know, if that's something that they're working on with their tool. For the sliders and galleries, potentially find an alternative, or better yet, is there an alternate way that you can present your content that doesn't require a slider at all? So those are some different options that you can look at. I will also show you, so there is a plugin. Sorry, this jumps to the bottom. So this plugin here, Divi Module Builder, actually lets you build custom modules that you can create yourself depending on the needs of your site. So it allows you to create custom fields and then completely control the HTML output and the CSS to display different features. So that's a kind of interesting tool to play around with. And then if you're someone who manages multiple sites for clients, you can create a custom module, and then they have a companion plugin that then basically lets you convert your custom module into a plugin that you can then install on multiple sites. So if you're a developer, that's a, you know, an interesting way to potentially work around some different things, and, you know, create an interesting user experience also for your content authors. There's also a few plugins that already exist that maybe people have tried, or there's actually a new one that we'll talk about in a minute. So the first one is the Divi Accessibility plugin. This is the one created by Campus Press. It's been around for a while, and so maybe this is one that people have tried. It's unclear if this is still being maintained. I think the last update in the GitHub repository was October of last year. So I'm not sure, again, if anybody here has any insight and knows if it's still being maintained or not. That might be helpful information for people. And it does fix some of the kind of the basic Divi theme issues. So this is just a local dev site that I have that has the Divi accessibility plugin on it. And so if I use my tab key, you can see I have skip to content link. And then as I tab through the WordPress admin, you can see the logo is highlighted. I've got a focus indicator. And they do allow you to control the color for that. I can tab through the navigation. So one thing that it still doesn't make the search icon keyboard accessible, but it just takes you directly to the form. But again, you have to tab through all of the menu items to get to that. There's one other. I'm going to tab through all the content here real quick just to get to the bottom. The social media icons that are at the bottom in the default Divi theme footer, with the Divi accessibility plugin, it has added a role of button to these links. I'm not entirely sure why, because they are just basic links. So I'm not sure why the roll of button was added onto these. I don't think that is correct in terms of ARIA attributes. So that was just one thing that I noticed with this plugin. But again, if you're using, if you're just using the default Divi theme header, without too much navigation, this could be a good option. Again, like I said, it does add, the skip to content link, the focus indicator, and the ability to tab through to the dropdowns. It does not work for things like the full width header style or the slide in. So if you're using some of those different header styles, this isn't going to work to make those other header styles accessible. So there's another one called Divi Assistant, and this is created by PA Creative. And go ahead and touch this one real quick. So the Divi Assistant, they do a lot more than just accessibility. Their tool provides all kinds of different, Divi little extra functionality and admin tools and things like that. But one of the things that they do include is a few kind of accessibility fixes. It's very similar in functionality to the Divi accessibility plugin in terms of it adds the skip to content link. It adds the focus indicator with a color that you can control. It does add the ability to zoom in and out on mobile, and tabbing through the navigation, just like I showed you a minute ago with the Divi accessibility plugin. You can still hear and access that the hidden search form. You can still tab through it, and you hear it on the screen reader. So that's still an issue because that is a failure for WCAG. The accordion toggle and tabs, it's a little better, but there are still a few usability issues with those in terms of using the keyboard. And then again, this one doesn't work either for the slide in and full screen menu options. So if you're just, again, if you're just using like the default Divi header style, this is potentially an option.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizeddigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code accessibilitycraft to save 10% on any plan.
So there's a new kid on the block. So Divi Dash Modules has created a set of plugins that just came out in May. They're also having some CSS issues because all of their skip links are showing on their site right now. That just started the other day. So like I said, they have three plugins that you can buy individually or as a bundle. They do have a sidebar. It's not horrible, honestly. I tested with NVDA. And you really don't know that it's there other than you hear the that open accessibility sidebar. Otherwise, if you're using a screen reader, you honestly don't know it's there. The biggest thing for me when I tested it is that it really just doesn't do anything super useful. So I'm going to launch it on their screen. So, you know, it controls language, like if you want to convert things to a different language. It has a lot of the normal options in terms of changing text size and colors and things like that. But these are really things that you should just be, built into your site design in the first place, in terms of having good color contrast, having the ability for people to resize text and things like that. I did test, they do have a seizure setting that is supposed to reduce animation. In my testing, it did not actually do that. So I did a good amount of testing with all three of these on Chrome and with NVDA, and found more than a handful of issues. And I have let the developer know, and they are going to try to address some of those, but they have to get through their Divi 5 updates first. But I will show you, I have a dev site with this installed on it. So it does do some interesting things. And there, there is some potential here. So again, you can add your focus indicator and control the color for the focus indicator. They also have, like I said, there's three different skip links that they include. So there is a skip to navigation, there is a skip to content, and there is a skip to footer link. So, a little bit more than you see with a lot of other tools. The other thing that is, that I find helpful with this one is that you can define multiple IDs to use where that skip link might go. And so basically they're going to use the first one that is encountered. So why would anybody want this? There are I've encountered in one situation using the event calendar plugin where the individual event pages that it creates will actually remove the ID, the div that has the ID of main-content. So if you have a skip to content link that is targeted at main-content, then on the pages that the event calendar creates, you now have a broken skip link. So it is nice here that you can add kind of a fallback option in case you're using, you know, a tool that would remove that that primary ID. The other, so like I said, this is kind of broken up into multiple plugins. So that's the accessibility tweaks. They also have one called accessibility attributes. The interesting thing with this one is that it will add the ability to define various ARIA attributes on a module by module basis. So when you're adding or editing a module within a page, if you go to the advanced tab, there's a section called accessibility attributes where you can define these, whether it be a label or giving it a role, description, all of these different various ARIA attributes. On the elements tab here, you can define what div gets the role equals main. So again, that's super helpful because otherwise you would have to edit a whole bunch of various theme files to cover all of your different page, you know, your posts, your pages, you know, all of your different archive, different types of pages. You would have to edit each one of those individually. And again, it has that option to set multiple IDs in case one is not there, there's a fallback. So where there are some problems, obviously, if you you know, you may be able to tell just by looking at the admin tools, they have some color contrast issues with their admin tools. So that's, you know, potentially problematic. With the ARIA attributes, it's cool that they've, you know, provided the ability to set those things on a module by module basis. The problem is where they're putting that code currently isn't correct. So there's still some challenges there that need to get worked out. The other thing that is a little problematic is, so they have the option here where you can add role equals link and role equals button based on different IDs or classes that you define. They're adding role equals link to all A tags, which actually goes against the ARIA documentation. If you're using an A tag, then it is by default a link. And then this class here, this ET_PB_button, is the class that gets assigned to the button module. And so, like I said earlier, that module really is creating a link, but they are removing the role equals link and they are giving it role equals button. So again, it's not fully correct the way that they are adding these different roles. And if you know, if you're someone who doesn't know ARIA as well, you're probably going to assume that what they're putting here by default is correct, but I don't think it is fully. So again, it's got some interesting potential. There are still some challenges. And like I said, I did send the developer for this some feedback, and they are open to you know, trying to improve it, but they are, like I said, working on their DV5 functionality first, their updates first. So because I couldn't find an existing plugin that did all the things that I wanted and needed it to do, I started working on my own, essentially. It's really more of a collection of various functions and scripts that I have just pulled together as a plugin, just to make it easier to add on various sites. So it does have the zoom in and zoom out functionality. It does have the skip to content link. It does have a focusing indicator, and you can control the color. I've fixed the labels for the social media icons in the footer, so that if you're using a screen reader and you're just getting the list of all the links that are available on a page, they're represented appropriately. They don't show up as just, you know, undefined or unlabeled. The mobile menu and the drop-down menus are all keyboard accessible, and including all of the various header styles, so full width, slide in, things like that. I added an ARIA label on the blog module, which is basically just, you know, read more and then the name of the post. There's code that prevents you from tabbing to the hidden search form, and you don't hear it on a screen reader if it's not visible. Again, adding keyboard support for the search icon, and adding a label to that form. Adding some CSS for if you have, you know, settings on your device to disable animations. So basically honoring that setting. And then adding support for the accordions and toggles and tabs for keyboard accessibility. So there are a couple things, if you notice on the slide, that have a little asterisk next to them. And that is because it does require some changes to the header.php file. Like I said at the beginning, there are just certain things that you can't really successfully do with JavaScript alone. So just for a quick, so you can kind of see what this looks like. So this is, again, another dev site that I have. And so if I use my tab key, I can get past the WordPress admin. But then I have a skip to content link that appears. You can see I've got a focus indicator, and you are able to change that color. I can tab through all of the different menu options. I can also use my arrow keys to go forward and back. And just to kind of point out a few different things. So right now I'm on the animation link, and you can see that it has the focus indicator around it, which is separate from the arrow that indicates there's a drop-down menu. And so with this, animation in this instance is a link. It will take you to another page. So it is separate from the button that would expand the submenu. If I move over to the last item in the list that says tests with the drop-down icon, you can see that that whole item has the focus indicator. And that is because in this situation, this is not really a link. It's just sort of a placeholder for the submenu items. And so that is treated as a button instead of a link. And that is why it gets the focus indicator around the whole thing. I can use my enter key, do expand. I can use my tab, kind of move back and forth between those menus or those menu items. And I can also use my tab key to get to the search icon. If I hit enter, it will expand the form. I can tab through that and close it back and get back to the regular header. I'm going to tab through the content real quick. So again, this is just a basic blog module listing some of the recent posts. if I right click on this and do the inspect tool, then we can see that on this link, I have an ARIA label and it just says read more of post 3, where post 3 is the name of the post, because this is just a basic, it's all placeholder tags. So again, just trying to address a little bit more, especially in terms of the menus, you know, because the sites that I'm working with, that we have a whole slew of different menu styles. And so I did put a lot of effort into trying to make those a bit more keyboard accessible. I'll show you the animation page real quick. So just if anybody has sensitivities with motion, just be aware that this page does have motion. So by default, the text, you know, this first paragraph sort of zooms in and the second paragraph slides up. So those are just different animations that Divi allows you to add onto your content. If I go over to my settings and I turn off my animation settings, and then if I reload this page, then we don't get any of that zoom in, slide up, slide in, any of that kind of animation is disabled. So in addition to kind of the basic plugin that has you know, a lot of this functionality, I did create a kind of companion that has a custom version of the button module and a custom version of the icon module. And again, trying to address one, the issue with the icons and hiding the icons from screen readers, adding in support for an ARIA label, and then adding basically kind of making that distinction between is it generating code for a link or is it generating code for a button? And so if you use the pound sign as your link value, then the output will be a button, as opposed to if you put an actual URL in the link value, then you will get a link. So just I'll flip back over to my dev site and you can kind of see what that looks like. So all of your normal like Divi styling still applies. So you can add your icon on the left or the right. You can have different hover colors. You can have your icon show up only on hover or all the time. You know, so all of those various things that you could already do with the Divi button module. But in terms of the code that gets output, so in this case, this is actually producing button, the actual button element. I can define an ID because, you know, potentially you might use that ID then to associate JavaScript with this button. You can define the ARIA label. You can define the actual text that is visible. So where it says read more, I can make that whatever text I want. And then the icon is now being, instead of being applied with like the pseudo element, there's actually a span tag here that has the ARIA hidden equals true. And that is what is going to pull in the icon. So on this, on the other side, kind of same idea, I've actually defined a URL. And so in this case, it's going to put out an actual A tag to create a link. Again, I can do, I can add an ARIA label. I can, again, change the read more to whatever text I want. And then again, the icon is got the ARIA hidden equals true so that you're not going to hear it from the screen reader. There's also the ability to add a full class on it. So if you want your button to be the full width of the container, that it's in, there is the ability to do that. And so again, with the icon module, basically, if you just wanted to put an icon on the page next to some text, it is basically just going to produce a span tag that gives you that icon. But again, with the aria hidden equals true, there is the option to make it a link if you specify a link value. And again, it would output the proper A tag, then wrapped around that span tag that gives you the icon. So a little bit more flexibility and functionality than the standard button. So if this is interesting to you and you know, want to play around with it, I have the GitHub links here. So github.com/elevagedigital/fix-divi-a11y is the basic plugin. You can use it as like in its entirety, or kind of pull out, just like I said, it's kind of a collection of different functions and scripts. So you could grab whichever pieces are useful and don't worry about the parts that aren't. And then the companion plugin is at github.com/elevagedigital/fix-divi-a11y-modules. If you use it as the plugin in its entirety, then you can go, once it's installed, you can go to settings and fix Divi A11Y to set your focus indicator color. I would obviously recommend testing all of this in a development environment before, you know, before you put it on a production site, just to make sure that it doesn't, because like I said, there's so many different things that you can do with Divi. You know, I haven't tested it extensively with tons of other, you know, Divi add-ons and things like that. So just definitely test in a development environment first. The other thing that you will want to do is, like I said, basically create a child theme, and you will need to update the header.php file. So within the plugin code, there is a file called header-new.php. You would copy that into your child theme area. And again, this adds code that is needed to help with the search icon and form, and then also some of the mobile and if you're using the slide-in header to help make those more keyboard accessible. There's also one more file in there that it's just like some random code snippets that I've also used. They're not things that I think apply to so many sites, so I didn't really include it as part of like the core plugin code, but it is just a file there. I'll show you real quick what these things do. Again, a warning that the page that I'm going to pull up does have motion by default. So this is one of the sites that I've been working on. This is fxbg.com. This is the tourism website for the city of Fredericksburg, where I live. And so when you first load the page, there isn't really a header across the top, right? It's just the little mobile hamburger off to the side. So if I start to tab on this page, so I get my skip to content, and before I had included this code, the next thing that I would tab, the next place that gets focused basically with the tab key, is the logo, but the logo was hidden. And so being able to focus on something that isn't visible on the screen is a WCAG failure. And so basically the code that I added, when that logo gets focus, it basically forces that full header to expand so that it's visible. So that was the first thing. That was the first bit of code that's in that extra file. The other is to add a button here so that you can pause this this background video. So because again, we want to be able to have that for WCAG compliance, to be able to have a way to stop the video. So there's two, like I said, there's basically two little code snippets in that extra text file to be able to accomplish those two things. So that's kind of what I've been able to do so far. Again, I haven't done, you know, anything with Divi 5. So once that is released, you know, I'll have to do some testing and figure out if there are any additional changes or updates that need to be made for Divi 5 support. I'm just other ideas that I may end up including in the future. Maybe a custom blog module to, again, better control the code that is output for that, for the blog module. Possibly a custom slider. There is an area on that fxbg.com site that currently has some image gallery sliders that we're still trying to figure out how we want to deal with. And potentially an icon bulleted list. I know that's kind of a popular feature in some of the other page builder tools. And there, I don't think is a really good way to do that right now in Divi. So that might be something else that I look at doing in the future. So that's kind of the main part of what I wanted to show. But I'm happy to take any questions that anybody has.
Yes, let me find myself here. All right, we did get some questions. I just have to say, this is so amazing, Renee. Not only comparing the existing solutions, but also providing a free link to get one that works on GitHub. So thank you so much. And it's amazing. So I'm going to run through the questions. So if anyone has any questions that they want to put in the Q&A, I'll pass them along to Renee. The first question came from Ron. He had asked, have you ever seen if Elegant Themes offers any official stance on web accessibility?
I haven't. No, I haven't seen. I mean, that's a great question. I haven't seen where they've definitively, as the company, come out and said one way or the other. But like I said, I have seen within Divi support tickets where
they've told people not to
recommend you use something else.
Yeah. So I can say what I know about this, which is that I have done some searching because I did this around the time that I was testing all the different page builders. Mm-hmm. And I tried doing site: Google searches. So I would just get results from their website. And I also checked their terms of service. So their terms of service doesn't say either way, because there are some WordPress plugins that literally say our stuff is not accessible. There's right. It doesn't mention accessibility at all in their terms of service. And then they have blog posts that talk about accessibility, right, that are on their company blog and why it's important. The thing that I found interesting about their blog posts is when they're talking about the things to do for accessibility, they don't mention things like you should have a skip link.
Yeah.
Or you should have focus indicators. They tend to go more to like alt text or things that can be done in their tool. It's and almost to a point that I'm like, are they intentionally leaving this out because they don't want to highlight the fact that theirs can't? I don't know.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've seen those same posts.
I don't know. And there was some conversation in the chat about Divi 5 and other people saying similar things to what you said. Let me see if I can find some of that. Let's see. So Diana had said, I know they're saying, oh, and then it jumped. I know they're saying five will not start with enhancements, but I'm hoping the foundation is getting accessibility going. It's very frustrating right now that their support is not very helpful with accessibility questions.
Yeah.
I think what I heard was that five is more about an internal refactor for them than about adding anything new. Is that what you heard?
That's kind of what I've seen. Yeah, kind of it's a little bit, yeah, like refactoring the admin experience to be faster and things like that. Yeah. It doesn't look like any of the underlying HTML is going to be radically different.
Maybe they'll see this and it will motivate them to want to do that. So, Star had asked, with the suggestion of using a different theme, what are their considerations that you might need to take into account if you were to, for example, go to WordPress.org and choose an accessibility ready theme and use the Divi Builder with a different theme? Is there anything that you're aware of?
No, I mean you would just have to do extensive testing. I mean, if you go to the extent of using a different theme, then honestly, why also then use the Divi page builder, right? There's other theme slash page builder options that are potentially better, that are going to work better together, rather than trying to force something to work. But
My
I
assumption
just, I mean,
is you might have to write more CSS because I bet you there's things in their page builder that it assumes is coming out of the Divi theme. And so if you don't have the
probably.
Divi theme active, then you might have to do some styling that you wouldn't otherwise have to do, possibly.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I honestly just threw it out there because that is a thing that they recommend.
Yeah, maybe, but maybe not the best solution.
Right.
Okay, Marcy said, is there any place to access the documentation for accessibility requirements? Would there be a way to prioritize the list of must-do items? So could you share how do you create your list of must-do items and what references do you find most helpful when you're trying to figure out what accessibility fixes need to be made on your client sites?
Okay. Yeah. I at this point, I have so many different things bookmarked, but so I also do, I do accessibility audits, and for these government sites that I've been working with, I mean, I basically have a spreadsheet that has all of the various WCAG success criteria, and then I just go, through each of them on every page that I'm testing. I go through each one and just figure out, does it work? Does it not? Does it kind of work? Does it kind of not? So that's kind of my approach, because like I said, with focusing on some of these, government organizations and the fact that they have to meet the WCAG 2.1 AA at this point. I mean, that is essentially the checklist that I use. So.
Yeah. I did post a link in the chat to WCAG 2.2. If you are not familiar with that, that's the official sort of internationally recognized thing. So you're saying, Renee, you've taken this and put it in a spreadsheet with different things you need to check for each success criterion, and then you use that as your own internal checklist.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know, maybe we don't need to screen share anymore unless I don't see any questions that are about can you show us anything? So, okay, let's see. So, Ron had a question, which let me see if I can find that because then someone followed up with it. I think he had asked something to the effect of, does anyone know if there's like any sort of lobbying effort? And then David replied and said, I've been trying to begin a dialogue with Elegant Themes on multiple occasions, asking how and where we might report issues and have a forum for getting those issues addressed. They don't seem to feel like it's a priority. So David's question is, with the DOJ stating plainly that, well, he said all Title II and Title III business websites must be compliant with ADA. why is it that Elegant Themes is still treating compliance as a luxury? And of course, neither of us work at Elegant Themes, so we can't speak for them. But are you aware of any place where people are going to go, like where users get together to say to Divi, hey, this is a priority, or where you can upvote features? Or do you have any thoughts on what being external to Divi? I think none of us can really say why do they not seem to care. But any thoughts you have on this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where. I haven't done a ton of research into kind of like where people go other than just, you know, support tickets to kind of make their unhappiness known. But so the other thing too is, I mean, Divi, like, I mean, this is an internationally used plugin at this point. Like I said, I had someone email me the other day from Germany. And so with the European Union Accessibility Act, right, that's going to go into effect next year. And I think I saw that if you meet WCAG 2.1, that may work for the European Union stuff. So again, I mean, it's not just the American, you know, state and local governments that are the issue, right? If you're using Divi around the world, that now it's going to become an issue in the European Union in the next 6 months. So yeah, mm-hmm. It feels like there needs to be a much more than just, you know, an American focused way of directing the input, but, you know, more of a global thing.
Yeah. I think broadly what I can say as an observer of people who build plugins or software and someone who also makes my own, but I think sometimes when you get a lot of feature requests, you have to weigh how important you think they are. And I suspect there's some lack of understanding at Divi about perhaps how large of a population is impacted by lack of accessibility on websites. Like, they just literally don't understand the stats, or they have never had a personal experience. Because I know when I first started theoretically building accessible websites, it was one thing until we started having people with disabilities test our work and talking to them. And I have friends who are blind. Like, now it's very different, right? It's personal. And so perhaps they've never had those experiences, and I am not giving them an excuse at all. But like, if I'm trying to get inside their head, like, maybe that's what they're thinking. They're like, there's not enough money here, and it's such a small percent of the population, and it doesn't matter. And then I think the other thing is a lot of these laws currently, they target the website owner. They don't target the producer of software that is used to build the website.
Yeah.
And so from a legal perspective, perhaps they're not worried about risk. Where risk may happen is if their revenue goes down.
Yeah.
Because people who have Divi websites look at it and say, it's cheaper to rebuild faster. Now, I don't know if that's the case with old Divi because it has all the short codes and they have solid lock-in. Right? Like, there's some other builders where you remove the builder and in 5 minutes, it looks like you never had that builder, but Divi is not one of those. And so perhaps it becomes, you know, like you were talking about, RFP cycles are long, building a whole new website is this huge thing. And so it's easier to just remediate. I don't know, but I feel like that's what's going to impact them. If people stop renewing their license and they send them a message and they say, I canceled my subscription because your stuff is not accessible. And here's the one I'm choosing to switch to instead.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat say that, you know, it's going to have to be voting with your wallet and stuff like that. So I did look at, so the site Built With, you know, that shows you all these different stats about like who uses what, you know, tools to build their website. I did notice sort of the trend line in how many sites use Divi. It has been declining. Now, I mean, it's not like a super sharp decline, but it is a you know, I mean, it's a decline. It's enough to notice, you know, over a period of time. So, you know, there may already be some people who are kind of starting that, you know, that voting with their wallet and moving away to, you know, to other tools. Interestingly, that Divi dash modules, that bundle, you know, I did, mention to the person who owns that, you know, about the sidebar, and, you know, he did make the comment that of the three, that one is having the lowest purchase. So, you know, there does seem to be an indicator that, you know, people just aren't buying that one because they don't want to, you know, have a sidebar on their website. So that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of a decent transition into our next question, which is someone had asked if you had any thoughts on some of these other helpers like UserWay or Accessibee. Do you want to share any thoughts on those in your opinion?
No, I don't want to get into any legal
stuff. I'll say it. So in my experience, people with disabilities don't actually use those tools or like them, and sometimes they can cause problems. I always recommend, we can probably throw a link in the chat, overlayfactsheet.com has a lot of information. And the other thing I'll say is UsableNet, they look at all of the lawsuits every 6 months and put out a report on what it was. And last year, for the whole year, about a quarter of the lawsuits were against companies that already had one of those widgets on their website, and they got sued for not being accessible, and they had one of those. So,
and there's also a class action.
Putting that on will fix your problems or protect you legally.
Yeah, I think there's also a class action lawsuit now against, is it Accessibee? I think
Accessibee is being sued
because it doesn't do what they claim that it does.
And the business had Accessibee, and the business got sued.
Yeah.
And so they said breach of contract, because the whole time Accessibee had been sending them reports being like, your website is 100% accessible.
Oh, geez.
And they were like, you kept telling me it was, but clearly it wasn't. So yeah. So I would not recommend those. It's better to go in and fix. But I think like the difference between the plugins, like what you made, is yes, it might use JavaScript to fix things, but it's very targeted to the specific builder and the specific components. It's not broadly saying I could work on Divi or Squarespace or Wix or some other, you know, WordPress 2024 or whatever, right? Like, it's very targeted. And so it is much more likely to actually fix the problems than these other tools that are generic, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also not making any claims that this is going to make your website 100% compliant, because there's obviously like 7,000 other problems that could exist, you know, that, you know, this is really only tackling a very specific,
hopefully not 7,000.
you know, this is targeting a very specific set of problems, and, you know, but you know, like I said, definitely test on a development environment first, because, you know, I've only been working with this with a limited number of websites at this point. You know, the ones where I'm specifically helping them. And so, you know, who knows, there could be all kinds of other plugins out there that, you know, there may be conflicts that have to be addressed. You know, like I said, the universe that I've been working with right now has been pretty small. So, definitely, you know, do extensive testing before you put this on a production environment.
I'll say it's really hard to know what all the server environments and all the plugin configurations and all the things are going to be like. So yeah, totally get that. Rob was asking, how do you balance accessibility with beautiful design?
I am not a designer.
So someone else gives you the design and you code it out.
I do partner with yet another agency in town. They are the designers, and so we just go back and forth. I was actually kind of doing this today, where they will come up with the design and something like Figma. And, you know, I will start to be like, okay, like there's color contrast issues here that we have to deal with, or, you know, this might be problematic when it gets into production. But I kind of let them, you know, come up with the design, and then we kind of go back and forth about like, this might be problematic, this needs to get tweaked a little bit. And then once it goes into production, which they use Elementor for their websites, so then I'll go through and you know, do more functional testing and like, okay, we need to tweak this or things like that. But yeah, I'm just not a designer, so somebody else has to come up with the pretty, and then I kind of help figure out how to make it functional.
Yeah. I kind of want to say it's a little bit of, I don't know if it's a misnomer or something, but I don't know if I agree that you have to balance accessibility with beauty, because I think that really accessible things can be very aesthetically pleasing and look beautiful on the web. And there are some really great examples of that, and they can even have even surprising functionality that makes them interesting. So I would kind of push back on that a little bit. Like, we build websites, they don't all look the same, they're not all dark. Like, like some people think color contrast means everything has to be like maroon and black and dark blue or something, but that's not the case. Like, you can have pastels. You just have to have them on a darker background, or right, have light or dark text on your pastel background, right? Like, you can have all kinds of different colors, and you can have engaging functionality, and you can have, you know, very interesting graphics, and it can still look, quote, beautiful and be accessible. So, but yeah, I think you're right though. Sometimes as a developer, you have to look at the Figma files and go back to the designer and say, hey, explain, you know, sometimes I'll just start with, can you tell me more about what you were thinking for the functionality of this section? Because sometimes, yeah, I'm looking at it and I'm like, right? And then have some of the conversations around, okay, well, how do we think this would work with a keyboard?
Yeah.
And not just the mouse. Like, okay, maybe we need to come up with an alternative for that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it helps when, like I said, the designers that I'm working with, like they understand, it's not like I'm coming back behind them and being like, nah, you know, you can't do that. Like, they want to be able to have their stuff be, you know, accessible. And so it's a good back and forth, to kind of have that like, oh, cool. You know, I never would have thought of laying something out that way, and that's cool. You know, so it's a good, it's a good kind of back and forth relationship. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What's best practice for keeping the total cost of ownership of websites low when paying attention to accessibility throughout the site's entire life cycle, not just at the beginning? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it probably goes back to just like, having a good design to start with, so that you're not having to spend a whole bunch of time and money with extra plugins and extra code to remediate it, right? If it's a good design to start with, then you don't have to worry about like buying the extra plugins or, you know, doing all the extra remediation and then worrying about what happens when all those things have to be updated and everything like that.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another way, when I think about how do you help keep the ongoing costs related to accessibility down? So one is training. Whoever mm-hmm. is managing the website, whether it's your content person on your team or the client that you're handing the website off to, they have to be trained on how to enter their content and maintain their content accessibly. Yeah. Our plugin, I think, is helpful for reminding people, but just like training and ongoing training, like reminder training is helpful, especially if you have a client that, you know, they edit their website like once every 3 or 4 months. You probably need to at least have annual Hey, here's let's have a quick hop on and here are things I noticed. I also think too, there's a line there, whether it's some revenue threshold or business size, which is different based on every law, right? And different localities around the world. But there's definitely a line where website owners just have to expect to pay some amount to invest in their website on an ongoing basis. I don't think it's realistic to, think we're going to build it and it's going to be exactly the way it was when we built it 10 years from now. And I'm not going to pay anyone to monitor it or to update things when plugins update, especially not in WordPress, right? Maybe it was static HTML, but then who wants that website, So I think there's probably some education there that there's like a base level. But I think the biggest thing is making sure that the content people don't do it and test your plugins in a dev site before you update them live and report issues back to the plugin developer if they're introducing a problem. I think if you can push, that's a thought I've had too. Like we've talked about when we do remediations, if we find things in a theme or a plugin, we'll try to, we could fix it, but then it's only for this one site. But also that means we have to spend our time, which gets billed hourly to the client. But if we find it and we just report it to the theme developer or the plugin developer, and then they release an update, I don't have to bill the client for the work to build that update. So it's cheaper for the client. And also it has the benefit of everyone gets the fix, not just my client. So I think there's some of that. Let's see. Scott said, I assume many of us use Divi because it allows a greater deal of freedom in site design at a reasonable cost of the client. So this is sort of related on budget and complying with laws. So I guess that was a little bit of a duplicate, but I don't know if you have any extra thoughts on budget or pricing or anything like that.
Not specifically. I mean, I definitely agree with, everything you said, that definitely the training, and just making sure that people understand, what they should and shouldn't be doing. Yeah. Education, yeah.
And then it looks like the last question that I have in the Q&A right now is what about the agency practice of having clients sign a waiver when they decide accessibility isn't a priority and they won't budget it for it? Are agencies still going to be liable? So I'm going to ask that question and say we can't give you any legal advice because neither of us are lawyers. So I don't know if you're liable or not if you have your client sign a waiver, but is that something that you've ever done?
I have language in like my contracts that basically say that I to the best of my ability it's we're trying to meet the WCAG standards and this was even before like all these rules that say okay fine we'll use WCAG as our as our technical standard. I'm just like this doesn't mean that you necessarily will comply with ADA or any other law and you should definitely check with a legal professional. I also will then like so it's like especially if I get if I did a full website, basically at the time that the project is done, like I make a backup at that moment. So I know exactly like this is where I stopped being involved. And that's what the site looked like as of that moment. And so if they go and do something 5 minutes later, that is problematic. Like I kind of have that, like okay, that was that didn't involve me. That like I just kind of have that point of
That's
reference.
smart. You just have a zip that you store in a drive or Dropbox folder or something. So if you had to reference it, you could. It's probably also handy when the client accidentally deletes their entire website.
Luckily, I haven't, knock on all the wood, I haven't had that issue yet, but. Yeah, I could see that being helpful.
So we also have contract language. Our contract defines accessibility in the contract as WCAG compliance. It specifically states that it doesn't include legal compliance. And then there's a section our attorney wrote that says we're not a law firm. That's literally in our terms of service that our attorney's like, you need to have this but just in case. And then in our statement of work, when we list out what's included, like in scope items, we will list out the components that are going to be accessible, which for us is the definition of WCAG conformant. And it will be like header, footer, sidebars, pages that our team have manually compiled that are in scope, which are listed somewhere in the like design and dev list. And then it will say like anything that comes out of the theme, because we build a custom theme, but anything else is explicitly not in scope for accessibility. And then we have the ability, then we'll say to people, let's say you're importing 500 blog posts from your last website, we will train you on how to go through them and fix them if you want to do that. Or you might have a discussion about whether you actually want to keep all 500 of these blog posts, right? Sometimes we just delete content that's not helpful. And then, or they could then pay us to audit and remediate, but we're never going to promise accessibility of something we haven't looked at. I can't say it's accessible if I or someone on my team has not tested it. And so that's sort of how we handle that. We have had times where they've literally asked for something that is in a section we guaranteed would be WCAG compliant. And then they asked for this specific thing. And as much as we fought with them, they were like, no, it has to be this way. And so in that instance, we had them sign something that said that they understood that they were asking for XYZ in this part to function in this way, like it described it, and this would violate this success criteria of WCAG, and they were releasing us from our obligation for that one component for WCAG conformance. That was how we handled that when we talked to our attorney. Again, talk to your own attorney. I don't know. Maybe it won't actually protect me legally, but that is what we did. So, Alice asked for a sample of the language. I will tell you, our terms of service, which has the stuff about not being a law firm and stuff, you can actually get in the footer of our website because they're visible to everyone. So I can find that real quick. I don't know if you have any contract language anywhere public.
I have some stuff on public pages on my website. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if you have a few links you could throw in the chat. So that's our terms of service. The other place where I wrote some, and I keep thinking I need to put these on my website. I wrote a series for the Admin Bar, which is a really fun Facebook group for agency owners, if you haven't heard of it. But I'll just share a link to this last year, Accessibility Weekly. And there are a couple of posts which were at the end of my series. So they're at the top of that page about accessibility in web development contracts is the title of one of them that is relevant and has some contract language, like from our statement of work, which we don't have public because it's unique to every client. But hopefully that's helpful. And I saw Renee, you threw one in there as well.
Yeah, I just had to change it to everybody though. So I mean, that's just a service page that there's like a legal disclaimer at the bottom of it.
Well, I think those are all of the questions that we had. This has been a great presentation, as I said, and a wonderful conversation. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you everyone who stuck with us for the full hour and a half. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with another WordPress Accessibility Meetup. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.